Investing is a powerful idea. It's solving problems. It's building for tomorrow. It's the pursuit of both financial returns and positive outcomes for investors. That's why we invest thoughtfully. That's why we plan with a purpose. That's why we look around the corner. Because done right, investing can inspire and unlock a spring of possibilities for all. Investing. Elevated. Allspring Global Investments.
Investing involves risk, including the loss of capital. Allspring Global Investments Holding LLC. All rights reserved.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, May 24th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. For anyone watching Elon Musk's efforts to buy Twitter, the last few weeks have been a roller coaster ride. That's especially true for Twitter's employees. Uncertain what the company and their jobs will look like under new ownership, or if they'll even be a new owner. On today's show, our tech reporter Deepa Seetharaman joins us to discuss how Twitter's workers are handling all the upheaval. That's after these headlines. Semiconductor powerhouse Broadcom is in advanced talks to buy the cloud computing company VMware for around $60 billion, according to people familiar with the matter. The deal would be one of the year's biggest. VMware had a market value of $40 billion before the deal was announced, while Broadcom's was around $222 billion. Sources say the price for the deal isn't yet set and could still change. Broadcom has been looking for ways to boost its presence in the corporate software market, and VMware has a strong position in the market for hybrid cloud, where large companies mix public clouds, like those provided by Amazon and Microsoft, with their own private networks. GameStop has launched a digital wallet that'll let gamers store, send, receive, and use cryptocurrencies and non-fungible tokens on different apps without leaving their web browser. GameStop has been looking to turn around its struggling core video game business. The company posted a surprise loss for the winter holiday quarter. The new wallet will also enable transactions on GameStop's upcoming NFT marketplace, expected to launch this summer. Investors in the Chinese ride-hailing giant Didi have approved plans to delist the company from the New York Stock Exchange. Didi has told shareholders it needed to delist before it could resolve a cybersecurity probe that's underway in China. The company's been caught in Beijing's campaign to tighten its grip on Chinese tech giants and their troves of data. Didi's market value has plunged since its exchange debut less than a year ago, saddling many U.S. investors with heavy losses. Didi says it will file its delisting notification with the SEC on or after June 2nd, and trading in its shares would stop 10 days later. And in a normal year, U.S. business school students might have traveled abroad to, say, India or other countries as part of their coursework. But when the pandemic forced MBA programs to cut back on international travel, some schools turned to virtual reality. Our reporter Lindsay Ellis says schools see VR as a way to let students witness a region's economy to better understand how to develop products and services for it.
So the way it works is that before class or in class sometimes, students will put on VR headsets and watch a really immersive video that opens them up to a new place or a new situation, really seeing how people live or work or go about their daily lives. The schools and professors who I talk to emphasize that this is not a replacement necessarily for these in-person experiences, but it is a way to enhance the in-person on-campus learning.
All right, coming up, employees at Twitter say Elon Musk's plan to buy the company is costing them. Why they feel they're being charged a chaos tax just for doing their jobs? That's after the break.
Analyzing news events involves many moving pieces. But whether you're analyzing politics or data points, accountability is key for doing great work. Monday.com keeps the entire organization on the same page in real time. Everyone knows who's responsible for what, when things are due, and how much progress has been made, so you know who to turn to in a moment of crisis or celebration. Leave your limits behind and discover what you can accomplish with Monday.com. To start your free 14-day trial, go to Monday.com/podcast.
past few weeks, we've been watching the saga over Elon Musk's planned purchase of Twitter unfold. First, he wanted to buy and the company didn't want to sell. Then the sides agreed on terms. Now Musk seems to be pulling back, saying the deal is on hold. Caught in the middle of all this drama are Twitter's rank-and-file employees, many of whom work in areas like content moderation that Musk said he'll make deep changes to. So, how are workers feeling about the change of ownership? And what cost are they paying for all this uncertainty? Joining us to discuss this is our reporter, Deepa Seetharaman. Hi, Deepa. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There's so much uncertainty about what's going on with this deal, but what are the biggest concerns that we're hearing from employees?
A lot of employees that we've talked to have expressed a concern just around like the uncertainty of it all. Twitter had a certain strategy in place. It had teams that were had a pretty sort of stable product plan or strategy plan. And with Elon Musk buying the company and all his promises to completely overhaul the company's business and content moderation policies, all of these employees are feeling really nervous and stressed because they don't know if they're going to have jobs.
What are the bosses at Twitter telling employees about those concerns?
Well, the executives for a month now, you know, they have urged people to keep on working and ignore the noise around them. But, you know, there's also an acknowledgement, an explicit acknowledgement that what happens when somebody like Elon Musk buys a company is that there's going to be a lot of turmoil. And the way one executive put it was that there will be a chaos tax for employees going forward, and the ups and downs will continue, and they will just have to endure.
I mean, chaos tax sounds pretty serious, not a bill you're necessarily going to want to pay. How do we know that they're saying these things?
Well, we are hearing all of this from current and former employees, some of whom have allowed us to review internal discussions on the Twitter Slack, which, you know, a lot of Twitter employees have been talking publicly about their concerns about somebody like Elon Musk buying the company. Inside the company, it's like that, but amplified. You know, there's a lot of people who are really worried and feel like, how am I supposed to focus if this roadmap that I'm working on is going to get ripped up whenever this deal closes? You know, if it closes, and, you know, how it closes, because there isn't really a strong sense of timing. There isn't a lot of things about the deal itself are up in the air. And meanwhile, employees are kind of left holding the bag and thinking, like, how am I going to go forward with my job? Like, what's the point in some cases?
I mean, there's also an economic, a financial angle to this as well for employees who own, say, stock in the company. We've seen Twitter's shares go down in value recently. How are they reacting about how much money they're making from this deal or potentially losing in the chaos?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like an additional layer of stress, I think, for a lot of these employees. You know, they just don't know. They don't know what they're like what they're worth. You know, they don't know, like, RSUs or restricted stock units, they're a big part of compensation at a lot of these tech companies, and it's unclear what all of that is going to be worth. And then it's also unclear to a lot of employees at the company just what the severance packages are going to be. And so, you know, pretty much everybody we talk to is looking for a job.
You know, you mentioned that Twitter is one of these firms that has frozen hiring for the moment. It's announced some spending cuts. We've also seen some senior executives leave. What is Twitter attributing those changes, those decisions to at the moment?
Sure. Yeah, there's a couple of different factors. One, at the beginning of 2020, Elliott Management, famous activist investor, had snapped up a large portion of Twitter shares and decided it was going to push for changes. And those changes at the time included replacing the CEO of the company then, which was Jack Dorsey. And as part of an agreement with Elliott and other investors, there were a certain series of performance milestones that were put in place. And, you know, cut to 2.5 years later, when we're in the middle of this deal saga, The new CEO of Twitter, a guy named Parag Agrawal, sends out a memo to everybody at the company and basically says, look, like, we're not hitting our performance targets. And so we're going to have to make some changes. And those changes included firing two well-liked executives at the company, one who's in charge of product and the other who's in charge of revenue. So these are the growth divisions of the company. And so this is stuff that's kind of happening on a separate but related track to Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, where you have a CEO who's also beholden to certain performance targets and the company hasn't really been meeting them. And so that's why these executives were asked to leave, because they weren't meeting the growth targets they need to meet. And then you also have this broader challenging economy that is making it harder for companies to hire, making it harder for companies to predict revenue, revenue growth in the future. So you have a lot of different factors that have nothing to do with the Elon deal that are contributing to some of the chaos that you see at Twitter today.
Does it seem like if this deal does go through, if Elon Musk buys the company, that this chaos will die down? I mean, there must be employees who are maybe excited to work for him, or at least excited for some stability and certainty.
You know, there are a lot of people at the company who feel like Twitter has always punched below its weight, right? That is a company that could have done so much better. It could have, given its cultural importance to the world, that the business should have been stronger and more stable than it is. So there is a small faction at the company that say, hey, maybe an Elon Musk company would help Twitter really reach its potential. And to give you a flavor for that, there is a small internal group, a Slack channel at Twitter with 85 people that is sort of pro-Elon, which is called, by the way, I Dissent.
It's quite a good name for any kind of Slack channel, I have to say. All right, that was our reporter, Deepa Seetharaman. Thanks for joining us, Deepa.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.